I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Luke, the 16th chapter. Luke 16. And we'll be looking at the 16th verse this morning. Luke 16 and 16. Luke 16, 16. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. We'll read it one more time. If you'll read it with me, that would be even better. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. And this morning I want to share a message titled, from the Scripture, Pressing into the Kingdom. Pressing into the Kingdom. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, in these few moments we have, I pray, God, that you would allow, Lord, this word to explode within our hearts and minds. Lord, if there be someone here, God, that today their soul is in the balance, they don't know you, that they'd come to you. Lord, for a believer that is needing to hear a word, Lord, to get into the place where they need to be in you, I pray that they would experience that and respond to the workings of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. I've been excited over the last months, really this year, as there has been a true spirit of revival among us. In fact, many people are being renewed. They are being revived. They're being restored. There are those who are experiencing resurrection into newness of life. With that being said, as was shared in our board meeting last week, it's easy to go through those times and absolutely miss it. I had someone recently ask me, when are we going to have revival? And I responded in this way, not sarcastically. I said, we're in one. I understood the meaning of the question. The question is referring to a particular time, a series of services, maybe a few days or a week or whatever come to mind. Maybe a guest preacher, some special event. But when I responded to them, I was responding to them in a way because I wanted them to understand the nature of true revival. You see, for when God moves upon people, it's not a movement of man. It's not a movement by a gifted preacher. It is the Spirit of the Lord that is working within the hearts of people. But we have so often characterized revival in our minds, and in actuality, in the life of the church, we've gotten it down to a science of putting it on a calendar for a particular time and for a particular week, for particular services. But as I was responding to the question, I was pushing beyond those thoughts, beyond that ideal, wanting just to say, look at what God is doing among us. But I'm very much concerned that right in the midst of that we'll miss it. For the Spirit of the Lord moves. He's like the wind, and He moves where He wants to, where He listeth, the King James Version say. Wherever He desires, He moves. And I don't want to miss it. I love the little chorus that was sung several years ago, and I heard it on a television program, and I grabbed hold of it. Lord, whatever You're doing in this season, don't do it without Me. Don't do it without Me. It's not a selfish thing. It's saying, but I want to be there. Lord, I want to be touched by what You're doing. I don't want to miss out on Your visitation. I don't want to be looking somewhere else when You're right in front of me. I don't want to be feeling for something when all the while You're touching me right here in the heart of my life, but I'm reaching somewhere else wanting Your touch. You see, but it excites me, however, what God is doing, but I don't want any of us to miss it, because the Lord moves in seasons different ways. I've urged you to press in today to in prayer, continue to press in fasting, find a time to fast in your life, to do without food so that you can then shift your attention toward the things of God. You say, that doesn't make any sense to me. I don't grab hold of that. I want to tell you, the Scriptures teach this, and whatever we think about it, God uses it for His glory and His honor for us to turn our natural appetite towards spiritual, a spiritual appetite where we understand that food will not satisfy, but it is Jesus, the bread of life, that truly satisfies. Drink in this world will not satisfy, but it is He who brings us water that will never thirst again and will never run dry. It is the Spirit of God that will bubble forth inside of a believer, and it will come up and it will be like a well that is feeding you and springing forth, cleansing you and refreshing you again and again. That's what we need. That's what we need. I want us just to dive into this verse of Scripture today, as it says to us, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. Just taking the first part of that, it says there was the law and the prophets until John. But from John onward, everyone's pressing into the kingdom, is really what it's saying. Because John, the forerunner of Christ, started preaching the kingdom. He started pushing people toward the kingdom. Well, there's some people who would take this and then they would say, well, the law and the prophets, that was done away with. I would declare to you that that's nowhere did Jesus say such a statement. For He said He came to fulfill the law, not to destroy it. He is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. In fact, in the very context of this verse, previous to this, Jesus is dealing with the Pharisees, and He addresses the 10th commandment concerning covetousness with the Pharisees. So He's still preaching and teaching the commandments. After this, He deals with, we see in the context, He deals with adultery, the 7th of the commandments. He deals with that and goes, hey, look, I want you to understand, committing adultery is wrong. It's a sin. It's against God. It's not what He wants for you. And so He's not destroying it. In fact, He reaffirms it even in the context. And we see it in other places as well. He said, if you love Me, keep My commandments. Referring to the teachings of our Lord. Now, there's aspects, no doubt, for national Israel. Leviticus is full of all types of laws and regulations that have to do with national Israel and have to do with Jewish custom and tradition that God gave them. And there is newness in Christ Jesus. But there's not a destruction of those things. They're just fulfillment of those things. And Jesus becomes our satisfaction. He becomes our Sabbath, and you can go take a vacation every week of your life, but if you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything. That's what the Scripture's teaching here. So I had an individual come in the office this week. They said they didn't like the Old Testament. They didn't like the God of the Old Testament. They didn't understand Him. They were saying that I don't believe in that God. But Jesus said, the only way to ever see that God is through me, Jesus. Jesus fulfilled those things. Jesus taught the Old Testament. Jesus preached it. Jesus quoted it. We cannot reject the law and the prophets. We must embrace it. That's what Jesus is saying to us here. But he goes on in the latter part and says, since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached and everyone is pressing into it. Okay, so what is the kingdom? We've addressed that several times in recent months directly. But here again, when Jesus is preached, the kingdom is preached. Is really what we're seeing here. It has to do with the rule and reign of Christ in our lives, that Jesus is preeminent above all things, that He is King of kings and Lord of lords over our life, that we surrender ourselves to His lordship. We become servants in His kingdom. We're surrendered to Him. We're walking in Him. And so it says here that the kingdom of God has been preached since John, and everyone is pressing into it. So what does it mean to press into the kingdom? To press into the kingdom. And I have this picture in my mind of going into a large arena where there's a large crowd has gathered and they're opening the gates, they're opening the doors. And you're wanting a seat in there, because it's a potential that there'll be no seats in your mind, and you know you need on the inside. You want to make sure you're not left on the outside, and so you don't want just to sit back and hope you can get in at some point. But the picture I see is here is that amidst all of the throngs here, and there's a door that I start pressing my way in. I press my way in. I want to get in this door because I feel like if I don't get in the door, if I can't get in there, I will be forever eternally locked out. And everyone is pressing into the door. The Word of God is telling us that this is what His kingdom requires someone to press. They have to desire to be in His kingdom. They don't just sit back and just ignore the Scripture and ignore Jesus and ignore the cross. They can't ignore His teaching. You cannot ignore. And so here it is. If we're going in the door, Jesus cannot be ignored. If I want in the kingdom, I've got to go through Jesus, and I've got to want to get there, and I've got to press in there. No, I can't do it by works, but if I can get a hold of the coattail of Jesus, if I can hold to Him, somehow I'll press in. I'll get in through the door. You see that? I want in, don't you? Pressing. Pressing into the kingdom only comes through fellowship and fellowship with Him, the Son of God. I press. I'm moving toward Him. I'm not standing back just on the outskirts. I'm trying to get in the door. I want to go there. I want to be there. When you saw Zacchaeus in my mind's eye, when I read Zacchaeus climbing the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see, I don't see a man who is just listlessly standing by. He's pressing as he climbs. He's pressing into the kingdom. The woman with the issue of blood was pressing into the kingdom. Blind Bartimaeus, when he said, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me," and they told him to hush, and he cried out the more, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." He was pressing into the kingdom. He was not satisfied just to sit back and miss out on the whole thing. I want to ask you, are you pressing in toward the kingdom? Are you pressing in to revival? Are you pressing in to be renewed? Are you pressing in to be restored? Are you pressing in to experience the resurrecting power of Jesus Christ in your life? Are you pressing in? Or are you just kind of hope he stops by my way because I don't have time to get in position? You see, there has to be a desire. There has to be a desire to be in His kingdom. A supreme desire. You see, there's a lot of pursuits that we have as people. But too often I'm afraid that we want Jesus to be just one of our pursuits. I'm not saying that all pursuits are bad. I'm not even saying that we don't have pursuits that are necessary. Scripture says if you don't work, you don't eat. Working is a good pursuit. It's a good pursuit, many things. Having my children, as I did, involved in activities is a pursuit. It's not an evil pursuit, it's a good pursuit. Education. I've always believed in education, but it's a pursuit, but it's not the supreme pursuit. It's not the supreme desire. But what we got to be careful of is just making the pursuit of the kingdom just a one of many, and it's not taking predominance. It's not preeminent. It's just one of them. Therefore, see, this is a good indicator of whether or not we are pressing in or not. If we find ourselves juggling things, trying to decide about spiritual things with our time and the other things of our life, and we're going, I think I'll go with this one today. Lord, I'll see you tomorrow. See you next week. That's an indicator that we're not pressing. When we're pressing, we're putting Him above all other pursuits. We're saying, Lord, these are the things that matter to me, and I know they matter to you, and if we have any other time for those other things, then Lord, we'll try to do that. But God, we're going to follow after you with all that is within us, because God, you died for me on the cross, and you brought me out of darkness into your light. I was lost, but now I'm found. God, I know, or maybe it's on the other side of it. You're starting to realize that that the world does not have the answer, and the pursuits of my life are leading me astray, and I want to know Jesus. That's when a person gets saved. It's when they recognize that their strength is not enough. They're dead and they're gone in their own weakness. But if they'll press in to the kingdom, to the cross, they'll see things change. You see, we talked about on Easter Sunday going deeper. But you get, in order to go deeper with Him, you got to press. So this message is for the lost man or woman who wants to know Him. And I pray that the Spirit of God will give you a sense of hunger and thirst that will lead you to press in toward Him. But the other word is to the church that we cannot just rest upon our laurels since we have come to know Him and then just sit back. But He's saying to us, press in, press in. This should be life in the kingdom. This should be life. But the things of this world cloud it out. In fact, Jesus said in the parable of the sower, the souls, soul and the sower and the souls, He said, seed, sower, and souls, He said that seed that was sown on thorny grounds was choked out by the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this world. He said that seed will be choked out. It wasn't that God didn't do anything in your life. In fact, that seed, it sprouted. It took root and grew. But yet, because there was no pressing, there was no pressing into the kingdom, there was no pressing, all of a sudden the things of this world began to choke it. The deceitfulness of worldly things, of riches maybe, began to choke it. Beginning to pursue things more than He. Our pursuit gets confused and we cease to press. We become distracted by the things of this world, and all of a sudden the life, is spiritual life, is choked out of us. That's what the lesson Jesus taught was all about. That's what He taught about. You see, there must be a supreme desire above all others to go after Him. Not only that, but there's just got to be a firm resolution, a firm resolve that nothing will stand between me and Him. We got to be resolved to do that, for that to happen. And I take you back to my original illustration about pressing in to the room. Sometime back in the 90s, I took a youth group to Mexico. We actually did several trips like that. And part of the trip was to go, we went to Monterrey, Mexico. Some of you, perhaps in this room, were on the trip. And in Monterrey, which is really a huge governmental center in Mexico, they have a subway system. Actually, one of the cleanest, nicest subway systems I've ever seen there in Monterrey. But the unique thing about the subway is the doors didn't stay open long. The doors didn't stay open long. And if you're needing a Spanish interpreter, you better get on that train when it comes. And so there's a crowd of young people, and I explained to them, don't get left. When that door opens, take off, get on it. That's when you don't want to be tying your shoe. Let's tie our shoes before then. When you see that train, before it ever stops, I want you to be picking up your bags. We got to be ready to go. We got to be ready. See, what needed to happen when that train door opened, when that sub door opened, because we had a big group, we needed to start pressing. We need to start pressing. That's what this means here. You see, the Greek term for this pressing is biazo, where we get the word violent. Biazo is interpreted, it is a word that speaks to being fervent, being excitedly advancing. Biazo. And so I want you to just picture just a moment. When those doors opened, it was biazo time. Listen. Get on this thing. If you have to come out and you bleeding on your arm, we need you on this thing. Don't get left. You say, but the door's shutting. Squeeze in it. Because I can't come back and get you. I don't even know where we are. You see, that is firm resolution. I'm standing there. I'll be on that train. Y'all better tell me this is the right door because I'm going on. You've got to be resolved to be in the kingdom, and you've got to press forward. Because there are going to be so many things that will want to turn you back. You see, because this journey we're on, yeah, it has some sunny days and has some beautiful mountaintop experiences. It has some wonderful days looking at and seeing the beauty and blessings of God in and through our lives. But as we press into the kingdom, there's some cloudy days. There's some days of great trial. There's some days when sorrow causes our brow to sink in despair. There's some tears shed, not all for joy. There can be suffering that we experience. You say, what? Just read the New Testament. Jesus himself, certainly Peter, the Apostle Paul, James. We can just go and make a list. There was days of great torture, trials and tribulations. You see, this is where it's going to come down to. Do you want to press in? Do you want to press? Do you want in the door? See, I remember I would aggravate Debbie so bad when we were growing up. You've heard me say this before, but it was a game of mine to torture her while my mom and daddy would go off when I was a kid. That was a game. It was fun for me. She would just hate it. If they left me with her, because I was all nice, Debbie said, please don't leave him here. What? Garvin had never done that to you, has he, Carmen? I could see Garvin doing that. I feel like I'm kin to Garvin. I could just see him happening. When nobody's around, he gets home and he's going. But I would take off. It was almost like when I see the car backing out, Debbie would take off of her bedroom and I would take off after her. And it seemed like almost every time when she went to slam that door, I'd get my foot in and I'd press. I'd press. Because if I could just lean my heavy little weighted body against that door, I could get in there and aggravate her, which was the joy of my life. But you know what? With that kind of tenacity, I got to press into the kingdom. I don't want the door to be shut on me. I want to be where God is. I want to be moved. You see, He's not trying to keep us out. What I'm telling you is the reality is time is short. Satan's movement and his attempts to destroy us are real. And therefore we got to press. This, when there's obstacles in front of us, we got to press. When there's trials come, we got to press. And when our brow is grieved with things that are going on around us and we have a temptation to fall back, we've got to keep pressing. I want to ask you today, will you press? Will you press? Will you press? Mark chapter 9. I don't like to use this verse. Just because I don't want to be... It's a verse that's misunderstood by people when Jesus said this. But I want you to hear, I want you to hear loudly the spiritual connotations of it. Mark 9, 43 through 48. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die, and the fire is not quenched. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life lame, rather than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die, and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. This is where a lot of people decide not to continue to press into the kingdom. See, there's spiritual connotation here. What we need to understand here is there's spiritual things. There's things that come against our life spiritually. Or maybe we're involved in some sins of the flesh that need to be cut off. And sometimes people would rather not do that. Maybe some friendships that had to be cut off. Maybe some activities that we're involved in that need to be cut off. Maybe it's stopping some things that we have enjoyed fleshly that need to be cut off. You see, it would be better to cut them off than to enter into hell and have done it. You see, so if there's recreation, that in and of itself may not be nothing wrong with it, but it's invading my spiritual territory in life, maybe it needs to be cut off. But see, a lot of people say, well, no, you don't draw, I got to draw a line somewhere. But the question is, are we willing to press in? Bow your heads. Peter, concerning Jesus, he said, "Where, Lord, can I even go apart from you? Peter understood he needed Jesus more than anything. David said, Who is there in heaven besides you, O Lord? He knew that God was it. The Lord was it. There's no one else besides you, Lord. This morning, as every head bowed and every eye is closed, I want us to pray. Number one, if you want to come to a right relationship with Him today, I want you to pray with me. Heavenly Father, I want you to come into my heart. I want to be in right relationship with you. So God, today, I declare that I believe in you, that you died on the cross for me, Jesus, that you rose on the third day. I believe in the resurrection. And Lord, I want to follow you. I want to follow you with my whole heart. I want to surrender my life to you even now. So therefore, I confess my sins. I repent of my sins. I turn from them, O God, to follow after you. In the name of Jesus, with every head bowed and every eye closed, would you slip up your hand if you prayed that prayer today to make things right with Him? I want to thank you for various hands that have raised, several hands that have raised. Anybody else, you slip up your hand today. So that's me. That's me. That's me. We'll continue with this with every head bowed. As a believer today, you understand what the call of God is and what this word is saying to you and the implications regarding this word to press into the kingdom. And you recognize you must press. And you're saying and would say today, I want to press and I want to change my schedule, rearrange my life, cut some things off, whatever it is, so that I don't miss out on what God has for me in His kingdom. You recognize that and you're willing to make that kind of statement in prayer, would you just slip up your hand? All right. I'd like for us to stand together. If you raised your hand for any reason, see, the Lord knows everything about every one of us. He's not concerned, not my concern, but it's ultimately God's. If you today made things right with the Lord, and that was your prayer, the Bible says this. He says if you will profess Him before men, that the Lord will profess you before His Father in heaven. First of all, if you prayed that prayer with me, I want you just to walk forward. And just to stand here at the altar, your face toward the stage. But I want to invite you right now. Several of you raised your hand. Now I want you to press in. You see, it's easier to press in this room than it is anywhere else. If you're finding it hard to press in here, it's not hard here. This is easy. Would you press? Would you just come and stand if you prayed that prayer? Number of you raised your hand. I encourage you to. You're going to find strength when you do it. You're going to find strength. You're going to find strength. You're going to find it.